last one for Trailer House. Here at the house, we like to post all the latest, greatest trailers for gaming, movies, and TV. My name is Chris. I'll be your host this week, along with my co-hosts, Michael.
Hello.
And Mr. Adam.
Hello. Good, sir.
Okay. Right. First up, we're each going to pick a video we either loved or hated from the last week on our Facebook page. We'll go with Michael first of all. What trailer have you got for us this week, Michael?
I've went for another comic book one to match last week. I've gone for The Wolverine. I've not picked this one because it's in any way, shape or form exciting or interesting me or blow me mind away. I've picked it because it's pretty meh.
Really?
The X-Men film series obviously is running now as a consistent, which means that every X-Men film that's ever been made is part of the same sort of universe, so to speak. So The Wolverine is actually the sixth X-Men film. That is X-Men 1, 2, 3, Wolverine Origins, The Wolverine, X-Men First Class, X-Men First Class 2, Electric Boogaloo, or whatever it's going to be called.
I was going to say, is that even out?
Filming it, because there's stuff being put up on Twitter, especially a picture of Jennifer, what do you call her? Everybody loves her. So much, I can't even remember her name. The bitch at
Lawrence.
Who?
Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, because she was tweeted the other day being completely naked on Twitter. I say naked, she was painted blue.
That was a bit of a letdown, Michael. I was about to ask for a link.
obviously, this trailer is just, at the time of this recording, has only been out for a couple of days now. Just do a little bit back in the film there. Hugh Jackman obviously reprises his role as Wolverine, because they must be paying him an absolute fortune to be doing this. It's turning up. He's obviously back to, with the title character. It's based on the 1982 limited series Wolverine, which is written by Chris Claremont and Frank Miller. It's set sometime after X-Men The Last Stand. Logan travels to Japan, where he emerges as a mysterious figure from his past in a fight that has lasting consequences. Vulnerable for the first time and punished by his physical and emotional limits. Basically, this sounds like the biggest pile of shit I've heard in a long while. Do we need a Wolverine film?
No, we don't. See, this is my exact problem, and this is what I was on about on chat. Basically, any film that's got anything to do with mutants or X-Men is Wolverine. The first X-Men was all about Wolverine, pretty much, with a subplot about mutants. The second one was all about Wolverine, with some subplot about mutants. X-Men 3 Last Stand was really about Wolverine. Since we'd got rid of Cyclops, he wasn't a problem anymore. And he basically got all over Jean Grey, and she melted Jean-Luc Picard, which was kind of annoying. Then obviously, like Wolverine Origins, fair enough. I don't have a problem with that one so much, because that's his own.
You've got no problems with it being a film or just being on his? It's him.
It's his film. It's Wolverine's film. It's all about him. Where X-Men, yes, he's one of the main characters in it, but you know, the other ones are way more important, in my opinion. Like just Charles Xavier by himself. You know, there could have been tons more about him. You know, his backstory and stuff like that. I mean, touched on it briefly.
To be honest,
but it didn't.
That's what X-Men First Class is, I think, is it? Is an attempt. Magneto.
Yeah. I mean, no, that was all right. I actually enjoyed that more than I thought I would. But yeah, as soon as I saw that, the very first sort of teaser trailer, I think it was, for this new Wolverine, I was just like, you know, that's something I'll never, ever, ever watch. I've got no interest whatsoever in it.
The trailer that Adam posted, I believe, was the second trailer. Might even be the third trailer. It just didn't set me world on fire. It looked a lot like studio shooting. By that, I mean it's all sort of fake sets in screen backgrounds. You know,
Revenge of the Sith style.
Yeah, it's Fox is bad for this, where you can tell everything's shot indoors. Most part. You know, even to go back to the first Wolverine section where he's getting chased by the helicopter on a motorbike, which is supposed to be set in the mountain ranges of Montana or wherever it's supposed to be. It's still looked indoors. It looked shocking. And
did it look like that bit at the end of Terminator where she's pulled up at the petrol station before she drives to the mountains, which is a real place in America? The only problem is that just seems to have literally been overlaid, like one of the old John Wayne-style painted mountainscapes in the background.
A film that was filmed in 1982 or 1981 or wherever it was actually filmed at, It did a better job than what most of these mods. Also, as well, it's got what my biggest bugbear in film is wire fighting. I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen wire fighting that looks real.
But in my opinion, any sort of Western film, to try and not sound remarkably racist, just what like the wire kung fu or wire fu, as I believe a lot of people refer to it as, just doesn't cut the mustard, in my opinion. At least, you know, compared to all the sort of CGI technology and stuff you can do. A bad example of that though is Matrix Revolutions with the big a million Agent Smith fight, which was the worst CGI I've ever seen.
And now, to be fair, when you went to the cinema to see that, it was really good CGI. 5 minutes after you left it, it did age. But in the 4 seconds that they first invented it, it did look good.
Fucking Magna Carta exposed to air. Instantly turned to dust.
I've got to admit, that's my biggest criticism of the second Matrix, is just that bit. It's just like, his like armpits are like joined to his elbow. It's just bizarre, like the way it's done. Like, yes, it's weird. But yeah, I think that's brilliant. Wolverine, check it out, or boycott it at the cinema, whichever you prefer. So we'll leave it there, Michael. We might touch on it again a little bit later, I'm sure. Next, we have Adam. What have you got for us this week?
Hello. Not so much what I've got as what I unfortunately have to deliver to you. Ethan Hawke's new film, The Purge. Holy fucking shit. All right. Where do you begin with the plot of this movie? It's essentially, for the people out there that haven't watched the trailer, don't know what it is, and upcoming, or seen the TV trailer for that matter. It's essentially what would happen if for one day a year you could commit any crime and get away with it. All right. Now, to me, that sounds like you're playing the $10,000 game. You know, if you could have $10,000 and spend on whatever you want, what would it be? Yeah. Oh, I'd have a day where I could commit any crime. Lol. It's just chronic. I can't think of anything less riveting than this film. And Ethan Hawke, by standard, is pretty dull anyway. Like, at least they could zazz it up with some, like, badass actor or some, like, really well-renowned actor that's, like, hard-hitting drama.
Mm,
I mean, the closest thing that Ethan Hawke's ever come to for anything like that, for me personally, was Training Day with Denzel Washington. And it wasn't because of him. It was because of Denzel Washington.
I completely agree with that.
Mid-film, but much better Ethan Hawke wasn't in it.
My problem I have with The Purge is, because I was the one that posted it,
is
the fact that it's just looks crap. It's clearly been made for about £5, and it's got all of the B-movie made for TV sort of like cliches in it. It just looks terrible. I wouldn't say it's a pretty good sort of concept, because it's not really. It's just like, what would you do if one day you could do what you like and you wouldn't get
That was my problem with it, was if you set that in real life, you know, very few people are probably going to go looting, you know, stealing. Everyone would literally just stalk the streets, killing each other.
I'd probably go and masturbate in the park. Just feel the air between my balls. I don't know why, but I'm out to anybody. I'm not going to kill. I'm not, you know.
I've just got this...
Gently masturbate in the park with the wind blowing.
I've just got this horrific image of you in the middle of the park in Sunderland, just hammering one out, shouting what at people. I can do what I want tonight.
I'm not talking about hammering, I'm going to take your time. It's going to be gentle. There's going to be some rose oil. I'm not going to look at anybody. I'll just stare at the clouds.
You're going to put a sandalwood tea light on in the corner as well, putting Lionel Richie on.
The other thing about The Purge is what I've noticed, obviously, I'm just sitting here watching the trailer on YouTube now. It's got that horrendous, horrendous thing in that these films have. And I don't know if it's because I'm a father and I'm going to be dad of two daughters, but it's got the jailbait schoolgirl daughter.
Which
they seem to put into these films, and I don't understand why. What possible...
It's for the guy masturbating in the park, Michael.
Watch out on his EE mobile and 4G connection.
Yeah, basically it's the same as it is in any film like that. You put the jailbait in to bring the guys in, they'll ogle the jailbait, and the bad guys in the film will try and rape her or something like that.
It says as much in the trailer. To be honest, she's hidden under the bed. I'm only assuming she's hiding from Ethan Hawke's actor. I've also noticed for the first time as well, it's actually got, and I completely can't remember her name, but I think one of you guys might know it, Sarah Connor from the TV show. Also, the baddie in Judge Dredd.
Oh, from
Mama.
What, Sarah Connor?
Lena. Lena Headley, that's it.
Yeah.
Who I like. I don't even think she could save some with Ethan Hawke in it.
Oh my God, Ethan Hawke. What if the jailbirds hiding under the bed from, you know, Romanian white slavery thugs? And actually, it's really just a cunning cover for Taken 3. It's happening again.
I'd like to think that all beds have a panic button under them, which just directs your call straight to Liam Neeson. Regardless of the film or genre,
basically, when all the hoodlums and the thugs come smashing into your house, you scurry under your bed, slap the panic button, and then start screaming out vital statistics. 6'9", on the right hand, he's wearing a smiley mask.
Sleeper Charlie, biscuit.
And then Liam Neeson comes in and just makes the film better, in generally speaking. Or he maybe voices a giant CG god lion.
No, that's the only thing that could make this film better. Like, if Liam Neeson rescued it.
I thought you meant Aslan.
Aslan as well. Fuck it, that'll do. I'll rock with
that. Lion smashes in and stops everyone nicking your shit.
Please make it so.
Yeah. But yeah, I've got to admit, terrible idea. It reminds me of the Saw films. You know, first couple of Saw films, quite good, quite clever, original idea. And now I think we're on about Saw 14 or something like that. And basically, if people are still waking up after being chloroformed out with a group of people and there's weird ass traps about, they really should figure out it's probably best if they work together. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I think there's one of them where the guy's got a key behind his eye. Now, fair enough, that's going to be pretty tough to resolve without, you know, causing some discomfort, I imagine. But yeah, the Purge.
HR grievance, you know, Chris. Like, oh, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to give you a written warning. It's a fucking key behind his eye.
No, but I'm just saying, you'd be pissed off if you found out you had a key behind your eye and somebody had to escape. Yeah?
You'll never lose it.
Well, that's my eyes have locked many doors.
Sweetheart, where's my keys? It's behind your eyes. Thanks.
You know where it is, but you're never going to be able to lock your house.
You're jamming iris into your keyhole.
That's absolutely brilliant, Adam. The Purge. Probably best to give it a miss, in my opinion, but, you know, hey, what do I know?
Can I ask Chris, please tell the listeners, is your choice going to be a positive one? Because so far, we've picked up the piss.
Well, I was going to go for a choice between the television series Tenko, possibly Schindler's List.
Well, at least they're good.
Or maybe it's The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Actually, for once, I think it is a little bit more positive. I've decided to go for Man of Steel, Superman film coming out. Exceptional boner for this film. I've said many times that generally with Superman films, excluding the Christopher Reeve ones, which were limited to the technology of the day, the unspoken Superman Returns film that we shouldn't mention any further was just awful. And Superman
was never made. It's just a bad, bad nightmare that we all had.
Like Star Wars Episode.
Not in the park, are you?
Yeah. Yeah, we best just don't. Yeah, it's best we don't talk about those. But yeah, Man of Steel. As soon as that first trailer dropped, it looked just phenomenal. It's the first time I've seen sort of a DC character comic or character from the comics that I've genuinely really wanted to see the film straight away. You know, instantly the first sort of teaser trailers were brilliant. You've obviously got sort of decent notable actors in there. We've got Kevin Costner, Russell Crowe playing Jor-El, I think it is, the father. We've got Michael Shannon, who you might recognise as the FBI agent from Broadwalk Empire, the sort of mental guy. I can't remember his character name to save me life. But we've got Superman being played by Henry Cavill, Generally speaking, he's quite a little known actor. I believe he played the main role in Immortals, sort of that 300 sort of follow on. What was his name in Whiplash from Iron Man 2? Mickey Rourke. He was in that, and he's also one of the sort of top guys in the television series The Tudors, which is also very good, and I recommend that just as a side note. Man of Steel, directed by Zack Snyder, who did 300, Dawn of the Dead, Sin City, amongst other things, and also produced by...
Sin City?
He did, didn't he? I'm sure it was Sin City.
No, that's Rodriguez I may be wrong. That did Sin City.
Was it? Not fair enough.
He did 300, he did Watchmen, and Dawn of the Dead.
He definitely did Dawn of the Dead, I know that for a fact. But yeah, podcast listeners, check that out. Prove whoever's wrong, preferably Michael, even if he is right.
And what, right?
But yeah, produced by Christopher Nolan, who did the most recent Batman trilogy. So there's that gritty end there to our potential for Man of Steel there.
Quick interjection for you lads there. Do you think, with obviously Nolan having the only success with a DC character film in quite some years, do you think they're all going to be a bit grimdark? Do you think they're all going to be sort of sad, depressing, and gritty DC films from now on? Or are we going to get any lighthearted stuff like Iron Man 1?
No. I've got to admit, I don't think we will. I like the idea of the DC universe being a bit darker. It sounds daft, but...
I agree with you.
The DC universe over, the Marvel universe is always darker. The Marvel universe always has a little bit more sort of... about it, where the DC universe, everybody's like, I have this power, and I must, and it's just like, all right, you've got a giant green ring, mate, that can do anything you want. Just enjoy being a Green Lantern, you miserable swine.
Yeah.
Is it a Green Lantern film, Michael? You know this? We discussed this previously.
We're still waiting for the true Green Lantern, Mr. Nathan Fillion.
Reynolds was the best Green Lantern ever.
It's a good job you're podcasting, because I would be throttling you right now.
Strangled to death.
I would literally haul my you to death.
Yeah, brilliant. basic plot for Man of Steel. I'm sure, even without watching the trailers, you could probably figure out what the plot will be with it being Superman. Looks like we're going to start off with him obviously leaving Krypton that seems to be war-torn, whether that's because of the enemy General Zod, maybe being just a general warmonger, or whether it's the more sort of in line with the comics, just natural disaster of Krypton, remains to be seen. Obviously, Kal-El, the true name of Superman, obviously ends up in Smallville here on Earth. His parents... the Clarks. I can never remember the names.
It's Kal-El.
Kal-El. Yeah, keep us right. Like I say, I'm not the biggest comic book follower. I got it kind of right.
I'll shout the names out as you go.
But yeah, we've got Kevin Costner playing Mr. Clark. Mr. Kent, even.
Mr. Clark.
No, I'm doing a terrible job of this. Stick with us. I didn't write as much down this week. But through the trailers, Costner delivers a couple of lines which are just absolutely brilliant. Mainly there's a bit where we've got young Clark Kent, as Superman's known as in his formative years, and certainly later on in life as well, rescuing his classmates from what appears to be an overturned bus in a river. Obviously Costner wants to keep his son safe, from these abilities that he can do. Last thing he wants is for it to end up, in some lab somewhere being dissected for being massively strong and super fast and all of this sort of stuff. But obviously, eventually Zod turns up looking for him, and I think there's going to be a bit backstabbing. Superman's going to hand himself in. Then basically Zod's going to just basically screw over everyone and destroy everything anyway. And we'll have maybe 20-30 minutes of Superman being absolutely awesome. Little bit of trivia, apparently Viggo Mortensen was considered the Zod. I don't know what you guys think of that.
Until we see the movie, I can't really have an opinion, because I thought Heath Ledger was a terrible Joker until I saw it and I was like, all my comic boots splurge everywhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Michael Shannon, the guy who's playing Zod in the trailer, seems to be putting across a really good sort of unstable character. So if he is sort of like your loony warlord, I think he's going to really enjoy, or he probably has, obviously the film's clearly been finished now, But yeah, that's due for release on June 14th this year, and I reckon we should all go and see that, and hopefully somebody will pay me in, because I'm a cheapskate.
Just going off the plot of what you said there, because I mean, I haven't really like looked into the definitive plot thus far, but it's all sounding a bit Transformers 1, isn't it? Aliens flee war-torn home planet, war ensues on Earth, bad guys kick off, good guys win.
Actually, it's not. The story behind it is basically along the lines of there is a war, there is a conflict. Kal-El is sent away while this all kicks off. Somewhere within it, obviously the planet dies, Krypton dies. Shannon's after Clark for a reason. We don't know whether that's going to be something to do with the family. You know, is he going to be held responsible for the, not so much crimes, but basically potatoed out on his dad. So he's going to come and do it. I think what's interesting about this is the take on it from the Kent's perspective.
Yeah.
The scene Chris mentioned with Costner there, where not really telling his son off for saving them, but you can just see the fear in the man's eyes that Clark has to be hidden.
Yeah, it's the fact that he offers him the alternative, but it's okay to leave people to die to protect himself, which I think is a really powerful thing.
When he tells Clark that, you know, he's an alien, and Clark comes back and says, I just want to be your son. That would only be me 5 seconds actually had me in tears. You see, and he's just tremendous acting. I'm very, very excited about this film. I was happy Zack Snyder got it from the start, because I think he's going to give Superman the spectacle that it needs, which I don't think he's had in the past. Nolan and Goya on board with this, Nolan's brother as well. Excellent screenwriters. You can obviously see with the Batman trilogy that they did, that this is going to be so good. The actors have got amazing acting chops on it. I actually think this might take more money than Iron Man 3.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a better film, and I haven't even seen it yet. That's how confident I am in that statement, Michael. Right, but yeah, that is Man of Steel. As I said, due out June 14th. This year. So what we'll do now is we'll run through dead quickly the top five films this week. So I've started in reverse order, going from number five, Disney's Planes, which is basically Cars in the Sky. Looks all right in 3D. It's probably going to be enjoyable, certainly for the kids. Obviously, you're going to have decent use of depth with planes swooping and diving and everything like that.
I actually quite like Cars 2, so I'm actually looking forward to this. Yeah. But again, I've got the excuse of sitting with children to watch it. My children, now that you point out, I haven't just went and rented children.
Mm-hmm.
You can rent children? Where the fuck do you live?
I'm sure you can somehow. Probably not along legal manners. Nothing dodgy, just, you know, an excuse to go and watch the new Shrek film.
Was it like Blockbuster?
By the adults.
Was it like Blockbusters where you just rent one off over the weekend and put it back to the letterbox on Sunday morning?
Yeah, you're just going to go, there's a lot of kids' films I want to see at the pictures, but I feel a little bit awkward about just going on as an adult man.
Actually, it's a funny story, I heard about one of the lads at work, and he said you can actually do that in like a European country. You can actually hire dwarves to pretend they're children. Like, you can put dwarves in prams, and you can, like, push them around and shit and, like, pretend it's a baby.
Is that the new story that broke with Disney World, where basically rich parents were paying disabled people to drive kids around on the motor scooters just so they could queue jump and get the kids into all the rides first? Just, you know, good job, America. That's some good
wholesome. I'm glad you were right about this, because if you aren't, we're going to get sued by Disney. And I don't know about you, but I don't have the money to pay Disney.
Catch us if you can, Disney. Don't send Liam Neeson. number four, we've got Man of Steel, which we've already talked about. So moving straight on to number three, Atlantic Rim. The knockoff version of Pacific Rim. The trailer looks brilliant in regards to this.
Like somebody's given an extra £20 to the Power Ranger budget.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying to Mick on the emails again when we should have been working that the best part about that whole the cheapness of the trailers, they've got the CG robots, they've got the CG monster, but they've got the coloured wetsuits for each individual robot, which is just brilliant. The fact that when the so-called pilots are in the cockpit, for lack of a better description, they're just backlit by a red, green, or blue light. There doesn't seem to be any, you know, sort of exoskeleton suit that they're stood in, like in Pacific Rim. There's no pilot seat.
The worst thing about it is that they're stood in their cockpits. They're not tied down. They're not strapping. I can't even sit still in a Suzuki Swift going round a roundabout. Never mind a 50-foot giant mech punching the crap out of Godzilla's mom.
Yeah, as I say, I imagine no one will watch it. It'll end up on Sci-Fi and you'll be able to watch it for nothing within about 10 days after it releases. Next up, at number two, second most watched trailer this week, is Anchorman 2. And I do know a lot of people are excited for that. The first one was brilliant. There's no way around it. Like I say, I've got to admit, I do enjoy Steve Carell as well, as we'll go on. But the number one trailer, game trailer, I don't think I really need to announce it, to be perfectly honest. I'm sure you guys can.
Did you see the number one trailer as a game trailer?
It's a game trailer, yeah. Indeed it is.
Atlantic Rim got more views than Pacific Rim.
Yeah, lot more. Certainly over the last. Certainly over the last week. But yeah, number one trailer this week with 86 views was the Call of Duty Ghosts teaser trailer. Another runner was the full version of the trailer, which was posted a little bit later on. But I thought it was a bit unfair for the top five to basically be, you know, two-fifths Call of Duty. You know, discuss.
What can you discuss about Call of Duty? when does it become like less flogging the horse and more like necrophilia? it's I mean, Christ, everybody's seen the formula. There's a man, he's a lone wolf, he has a squad around him, they invariably get killed, you're in a crap situation, you finish that 3-hour one player game and jump online to be abused by children.
I've always loved the single player for the Call of Duty games, and I've got to admit, I'll probably pick it up purely for that. So, going back to the whole necrophilia thing, Adam, if that's necrophilia, and that's wrong, hey, I don't want to be right.
Just a quick question there, Chris. You see, you like the first player, and to be honest with you, I've played them all. Apart from Flops 2, whatever you call it. I've always enjoyed the first player, but I would never, ever, ever, ever pay the opening price for that game. I've always either borrowed it or I've got it about a month later.
It's like
£55 for 6 hours of gameplay. Is extortionate.
I do agree. I think that's a fair point. For me, it's pure just escapism. It's, you know, it's the big over the top set pieces, the mental plot. I just love it, and I've got to admit,
£55 for it.
I'm not a very smart man. You know that, Michael. That is a well-established fact by now. But Call of Duty Ghosts, I have no idea about the release date. The full trailer did drop with the announcement of Xbox One, which I believe we will cover at some point later on. But that is pretty much everything covered, I believe. So as always, you can find Trailer House on Twitter, Facebook, Blogspot, YouTube, and SoundCloud. See the description below our current podcast for the other links. So that's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Michael.
Bye bye.
Thank you. took a while. And goodbye from Adam there as well.
Ta ta, folks.
Yeah, see you guys next time.